Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick, Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law that you watch me cover on the very busy WGN-TV to spend some time talking about theater and the arts, which is so much fun to do. And this show, a little bit different from what I usually do. You know, we're usually talking about the casts of various Broadway shows in town, but this is a special performance coming up at Ravinia, a tribute to the life and legacy of the great Whitney Houston. And joining me for this conversation is Sean Mays. He's going to be the conductor of that evening. If you don't know his name, you will by the time I'm done bringing stuff up as we go. I'm going to kick off with one thing, Sean, because first of all, welcome. But secondly, we're going to all see you in town when you are, I assume, also conducting the orchestra for the brand new world premiere of Ali the Musical. Let's just do a shout out to that now.
Absolutely. Well, and Paul, thank you so much for having me on the show as well. It's great to be here. But yes, super excited.
Can't wait for Ali. But right now, the Ravinia people are going, okay, yeah, get to that later. Right now, we got Ravinia to talk about, and we do. Because on Friday night, August 30th, you're doing a show which has been titled The Voice of Whitney, a Symphonic Celebration. Now, I'm going to clear one thing. You know, when I first heard about this as a topic, I thought, I just went to Mancini at 100 at Ravinia, for example. So I said, well, it'll be one of the things where they have on a bunch of singers who will sing Whitney Houston songs. Good luck trying to find people who can do Whitney Houston songs. But that's really not what this night is about. This is kind of unique.
That's right. It's a very, very interesting way into the work, because for this performance in particular, we've actually gotten permission from, again, Pat Houston and the Whitney Houston estate in particular, for the first time ever to use Whitney's actual original master recordings. So it's a really, really cool concept, because what, you know, if you're coming to the concert, what you're going to see and hear, you'll see a whole bunch of footage of stuff that hasn't been seen before from her life, different, you know, various video footage that will accompany the music. But certainly, I think one of the most amazing parts of it artistically is going to be people who love Whitney Houston. You know, it'll be full new symphonic arrangements of all of her material, but it will actually be along to her voice. So it will have the feeling of sounding like she's with us and singing in real life, which is just it's been so powerful, honestly, working on this material and being able to be in the experience of hearing her voice, you know, in terms of these raw audio stems that we've been so fortunate to have the permission from the estate to use. So it's really cool stuff.
So is this a world premiere of that? Has that happened before? Has the estate permitted it before?
World premiere of this concert. Again, we've been working on it with the producers, with our folks around, and of course an entire team of orchestrators as well, of which I am one of the orchestrators of the project too. So it's again, this is the first time, both as far as this project is concerned, but just as far as the Houston estate has given the permission for Whitney's voice in this matter. Yeah, so it's very powerful.
Let's get one thing cleared up. Are we getting the Star Spangled Banner?
See, this is the thing. I'm like, now do I leave some?
I'm not going to walk through all the song. I won't do that. I just want to know about the Star Spangled Banner.
Well, listen, I would say if we're leaning towards hot or cold on that one, I think you're leaning pretty hot. So it's yes, there will be, which is fantastic.
I mean, there's a lot of Whitney Houston songs I could have mentioned that wouldn't have been one that, if one's thinking of songs, one says the Star Spangled Banner. But when it comes to her, you have to.
That's the one, right? I mean, truly. And then when you think about just what the power of hearing that on, again, a symphonic orchestra, right? Like that is, I mean, certainly, you know, one of the most powerful pieces that we all know, right? And hearing that live with that sort of orchestration behind it, it's going to be quite something.
Has there been any involvement? I mean, I know the estate, but that makes me think of Sissy Houston and Dionne Warwick, her aunt, and, you know, just any play of all those other famous folks who surrounded her?
You know, it's really been, for the most part, focused. Again, we've been so lucky to be working with Pat as well, with Pat Houston, again, who's, of course, you know, very involved as far as, you know, leading the estate and her estate.
And for people that don't know, what was the relationship of Pat to Whitney?
Pat's her sister-in-law. So yeah, which is really cool. So Pat's been involved again for a long time in terms of upholding her legacy. And we're really excited to have her blessing and the entire estate's blessing as far as the project is concerned.
So because it's one night, so obviously I haven't seen it. Is this going to be like, and this is a good thing. I've attended some events at the Auditorium Theater here in Chicago. I know you've been at the Auditorium. where they have like movies like The Godfather, and they remove the soundtrack. The Chicago, in your case, you're playing with the Chicago Philharmonic, but they've had the Chicago Symphony, whatever, and they play the sound. We watch the movie, but the soundtrack is from the orchestra. Is that what this is?
Well, the way I would describe it or think about it, I mean, if you're, it's the best part about it in from a musical angle will be, it will feel very similar to a lot of the music that we've listened to our whole lives. But there's also going to be a lot of really cool surprises, because since we've had the ability to work with, you know, doing these new symphonic orchestrations on it, as orchestrators and as a team, as producers, in terms of developing the material, we've really taken the time to be able to open up what these arrangements can be. So, you know, listeners might sort of be taken on this beautiful journey of hearing, you know, certain intros or outros or certain moments within the songs that, you know, maybe aren't quite as familiar. And it's sort of like, ooh, that's different. And then which leads us into sort of landing in this place where we're like, ah, right, this is what the song is. So it's really, it will be, you know, it will be really a total utilization as to what the full power of having, you know, really just an entire orchestra and all those colors and what those colors can do in terms of just like really amplifying and sort of one-upping the music to the next level as far as what we can do there. It's really, really interesting.
So obviously at moments when she, I'm not getting too technical, I'm not a technocrat, but you know, at moments where she wasn't singing, it's easy enough for you to take some orchestral freedom and do some things, right? But on the other hand, when she is singing, let's just remove all the music, it's her voice. Yeah. You got what you got. So you can't say, let's pause her. You can't do that. It is what it is. So how do you, it sounds to me like not only is it rewarding for people who just remember the exact way she did things, but a bit of a challenge maybe for you who had to create this orchestration.
It's been really interesting. And one of the cool things about the process is we've, again, as you mentioned it really, really well, Paul, it's sort of, you know, you've got what you got. And there's obviously only so much that we can do in terms of, you know, there's been little details like being able to add space for certain moments or, you know, but obviously in terms of what Whitney has left with us, you know, that is what it is. So it's been really cool to sort of explore that and just be like, great, if we are going to, you know, do this as a full length number, as a full length piece, you know, where are those moments that maybe we can add a little bit of extra flavor, add a little bit of extra space. But again, it is very mapped out. And of course, you know, there's obviously a great deal of tech that's involved in terms of being able to execute something like this. So we are, you know, we have our internal sort of magic in terms of making that happen. The show will be, you know, a great deal that will be on ClickTrack as well, so that, you know, we are, certain members of the orchestra are able to hear and accompany, you know, a click that will basically guide us through making sure that we are truly actually accompanying.
That is the part that's like these Godfather movie things, right? They have to have computers in front of them that show them, but you have to be exact. You can't mess up.
That's literally it. That's exactly right. And I think the biggest difference between something like that and something like this is, you know, again, you will hear her music in this, but the cool thing is, you know, it's, we've sort of creatively wanted to be like, if we have an entire orchestra, you know, on stage with us, how can we maximize that from all angles? Right. And so just adding all those colors. And again, thinking of some cool moments where we can kind of shift something a bit and say, here's a slightly spicier version of, you know, something that we all know and love, that still pays a really cool homage to the incredible artist that she was.
And I get the sense from your description, it coming to Ravinia on August 30th, Friday night, is going to be like going to a Whitney Houston concert. It's not going to be like going to a Whitney Houston retrospective, such as, and now let's take 10 minutes and watch a scene from The Bodyguard.
No, it will really, I mean, the entire, it is certainly a musically led evening. For sure. Musically led. And again,
and I love The Bodyguard. I wasn't putting down the movie.
Yeah. And as we all do, right? But no, but it'll be really, I mean, even, you know, you think of sort of the model of what our symphonic concerts can be, you know, there's an overture that, again, that obviously doesn't feature her voice in that way. But like, you know, when we think about, you know, just being able to exist and come to a concert where you're like, oh, cool, an entire symphony. So there'll be all those sorts of elements as well. And again, it really will be, it'll be her the whole evening, which is really, really cool.
Let me delve into you a little bit, and then we'll come back to sort of, you know, full circle of this and this particular project, because first of all, I'm a total Broadway geek, and a lot of people that watch this show or listen to us are also Broadway geeks. So people should know. I said, if you don't know this name, you will, because you have been involved. And even I'll be honest with you, when I look, Sean, back at your resume and just seeing things like, just a show that maybe has won a Tony or two, MJ the Musical, Hadestown. Back in 2022, you did the show Mandela. I recently interviewed his daughter about this magnificent book that came out about him. But Come From Away, The Color Purple. I mean, Rent at the Kennedy Center. I mean, so it's unbelievable. And yet, so this is pop. There's Broadway. You have done, I'm not walking through it because classical music sometimes can bore me, but you've done the classical, this, but there's nothing, nope. Part, no genre you haven't done. So where, full circle moment, so where does doing something like this fit in the world of, and by the way, I'll be back in Chicago for Ali the Musical.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I well, thank you, first of all. And you know, I look at my work as a musician and you know.
And you're an orchestrator and you're a composer.
Absolutely. Yeah, as a conductor, orchestrator, composer. You know, I mean, I really think of my work in terms of trying to facilitate, you know, thinking about stories and art and music that needs to be heard and needs to be brought to the forefront. And, you know, I mean, I am really, really fortunate. I've been really fortunate in my life to work on projects I think match that really, really well. You know, certainly, again, a concert like this honoring Whitney Houston. I mean, there's really not, you can't go much higher than that, right? I mean, she really truly was one of, if not the greatest vocalist to ever walk this planet. And so it's, you know, it's an immense responsibility too. And I am really, really thankful that my work, you know, across genres, I try not to limit myself. You know, I mean, again, and I think that's important as artists. You know, I grew up in a home where I went to school for classical music, but I grew up in a home where, you know, my father was a professional musician and played with Rick James and, you know, we listened to everything growing up. And so that was my musical DNA. And so as a result, I think, again, we sometimes can silo ourselves as artists musically in that way. And I think the point of, you know, and especially with new projects and stuff that's happening, even on Broadway, is that we are discovering that we have much more in common than we do apart. Right. And so, you know, and music is music, right? So it's really, really great to have those skills again from, you know, working with, you know, a small band up on two, you know, orchestrating and conducting for full symphonies and full orchestras. But, you know, again, music is music and it's just about utilizing that in the best way to, again, tell stories as best as possible.
So I was 50 when I was 10. And so for me, I grew up loving Burt Bacharach and Henry Mancini and just some of those. I mean, I enjoyed big band music too, but I think my ear is kind of the Burt Bacharach thing, which is why I brought up Dionne Warwick before. She's not making a surprise appearance here, is she?
I can say pretty confidently that that's not going to happen.
All right. Let it be known I've kissed her. That's my past. But anyway, what did you grow up with? Did you grow up with the Broadway? What raised you?
It was funny. You know, my early years really was not super Broadway heavy. I caught the Broadway bug when I went to high school. I went to a performing arts high school and my parents and, you know, they were quite surprised with it. Again, I'd said we had had numerous genres. My father was a recording artist for many, many years, you know, sort of in the soul R&B funk world.
Do we know your dad?
Probably not. He had a lot of feature back in the 80s and early 90s under the stage name Johnny Gatan.
Different name. Okay.
Yeah. Released a few albums as well and such and features in Billboard magazine. But it wasn't really until later on, you know, sort of in my teen years where it was like, I got involved and started learning more. And I, you know, we knew the big musicals, but it was like, oh, starting to dive into what the world really had. And I think for me, the power of hearing what the musical can do in terms of, again, sort of telling a story on stage and thinking about, you know, what are those stories that we need to tell, right? That we want to make sure that we're getting in front of an audience. And so for me now at this level professionally, that's what, you know, something like, again, the Ali project, I mean, we as a team just feel honestly nothing but humility in terms of being tasked with and blessed with, I should say, the ability to use this medium in a way that just truly magnifies, again, like one of the most incredible human beings to ever walk the planet, truly on all forms, right? Not only in terms of his own craft, but in terms of what he made sure to leave the earth before he left here, right? He was one of the most incredible humanitarians of all time. And so we feel that in that we are like, great, we have a huge responsibility to make sure that this music, this story, amplifies his voice and continues that legacy in a way that is fitting, because it's also wild to think we are now on the edge of the cusp of a new generation who is learning about who Muhammad Ali was in his lifetime, now that, now that his star has passed, right? So it's a really, really, it's again, it's a big responsibility, and we have an incredible team of people who, again, from around the world, across disciplines, very specifically, right? Teddy Abrams, our composer, who is a classical composer, conductor of the Louisville Symphony, but then we have Q-Tip as a co-lyricist, who again is just one of the most foundational rap artists of all time, obviously from his early days in Tribe Called Quest, et cetera, and forward. So it's a really, really big responsibility to sort of bring all these titans together and sort of say, great, how do we utilize that in order to really just center what was an incredible, incredible man.
And by the way, I don't think you've had a tie to What a Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong story, which has been going under revision, coming back. Do you have a tie to that yet?
I have a very small tie. I years back, I've worked with some of the creators, and I know the creators on it very well, but not in its current state. But I do know a lot of people involved with the show, and I've been so happy to follow its success and really excited to see what happens with
Yeah,
it.
I mean, world premiere was here. Needed some work, but great show. And James is unbelievable as Louis. So here's an unfair question. The phone rings in the morning, and the question is, hey, Sean, we've got this Broadway musical. We want you to come play in the Broadway theater over here. Or it's three options. Option B, or we're creating a brand new incredible thing like Ali, and we want you involved from the beginning of that. Or option three, you're coming to Ravinia, and so it's going to be a tribute to a well-known, previously existing legend. But you're playing it at Ravinia. What are you taking? The Broadway musical theater, Ravinia, or we're gonna not do any of that right now. We're just gonna work on a brand new project like Ali. Good luck answering that.
I don't know if I, it seems like a trick question because I think I'm kind of existing.
I couldn't answer it, so
I honestly, I really do. I do. I'm so grateful for, and I'm thankful to be able to sort of move between the worlds. I really, really am. And I think that each medium has its own magic in terms of what you can, what it can bring to audiences and to the people who hear it. And I think it's the testament for really for me as an artist and as a musician, and really as what I try and think of myself as is really as an activist through that work. I don't want to, I don't believe we should have to, and I don't want to have to silo myself in any of those, and
I didn't say it was, I said it was an unfair question,
it is
so.
very unfair, but unfortunately, because it's, again, I want to be where humbly, if any of those realms feel that I have something to contribute in terms of a voice of being able to, again, amplify and help tell the story in a voice, then I will do my best to always humbly step into those spaces and offer myself in that regard and see what
Did the
happens.
Whitney Project come to you, or did you go to them?
It came to me, actually. It came to me. It came. I have a great connection with a dear colleague and friend over at Park Avenue Artists, who's one of the main producers and really one of the leads in terms of getting this project up on its feet. And a wonderful, wonderful, again, another Broadway veteran and longtime conductor, artist, musician, creator, named David Lai. And so David approached me initially about the project and mentioned, what this would be, and it was such a thrilling notion to be involved, of course, because again, even as far as my orchestral work is concerned, I like to believe a lot of it is really related to, and this is both within the pops orchestral world, but also, you know, some of my own work, you know, as far as I recently completed an opera that finished a run at the Canadian Opera Company, you know, really about using the work that we do to help, again, tell stories that maybe, you know, haven't been focused on as much, particularly when we're talking about, you know, artists of color, when we're talking about women, you know, and thinking about how we can just amplify their voices by using, you know, the cool stuff that we already do and what we do.
So people who just might have said, what do you mean Canadian? You began life as a Canadian.
I am, and I began life and I'll end life as a Canadian. I'm from Toronto originally, as they say, and yeah.
You're a Torontonian.
Toronto, as we like to say back home. So yeah, so from Toronto and have, you know, getting between Toronto, Montreal, and back home as well. So that's my claim.
And in the Whitney Project, so did they bring you in and said, here's your, you know, script, for lack of a better word, or here's the libretto, here's the whatever, go to it? Or is it like, Sean, we need you, what number, what comes first? Is it biographical? Is it, let's just start with Greatest Love of All and let them leave after that, because it's going to, you know, how did that structure happen? What role did you play?
It's a great question. I mean, I think the biggest, you know, kind of leading force in it, of course, is going to be the music. Right. So I think it was a lot of early conversations around saying, right, we know this is what we want to do. We have the ability to do this again with, you know, so many instrumentalists on stage. And
so this was not a done deal when you got involved.
Not as far as, you know, it's been a process. Yeah, exactly. It's been a process in development. We had conversations even in terms of, you know, what songs would land in, and some of those being like, again, when you are talking about somebody who has such a massive catalog, it's always going to be difficult, right? Because you're going to hit moments where you're like, oh, this, but this one, I love this one, and this, you know. And so at some point, of course, you sort of start to filter down and say, great, we have to, you know, we can't be here for 5 hours. We have to choose what we think is going to be, you know, enjoyable. And hopefully, you know, those will come in the next time. But
And you can't please, you know, at the Mancini night, again, a huge Mancini fan, of course, you Pink Panther, you get the stuff you're thinking of. And I thought, oh yeah, they pretty much hit everything. And then I drove home and I went, wait a minute. Wait a minute, you missed something. So yeah. Will people who leave after the Whitney concert, will they get in their car and say, wait, they didn't play this huge thing? Or will you pretty much say, nah, if you're a Whitney fan, you're leaving happy?
I think pretty confidently from the list that we've got going, if you love Whitney, you're going to be pretty happy. And I think you'd be happy on the end of, like, you know, it's so funny you mentioned like Star Spangled Banner, right? Because, you know,
because Roseanne Barr did that too, but we're not talking about that.
But it's something that, unless you really were like, yes, also that. But it's something, if you were like, you know, if you've never seen it, right? Because, like, you know, depending on, again, what entry point you are as far as,
yeah, right,
Whitney's legacy, like, you know, we know the big songs that you hear in terms of what's still on the radio and stuff, but like some of those moments, which are, again, just like so iconic. You know, I think for Whitney fans who've sort of been there the entire time and know the ins and outs of it, it's going to be a really, really fantastic night.
Do you think if Whitney were here, if Whitney were here, she'd be doing it. But if Whitney knew about this, would she say, this is the way I want this done? Or would she have said, well, let me give you a list of some incredible singers I'd like to do my music for that night? What do you think Whitney herself would want? I'm guessing this.
It's such a great question, you know, and it's obviously something that I've thought about, that's very close to my heart, and we all have as, you know, as creators on this, of course, because, again, it is honoring legacy at this point, right? Because she is not here to be with us to express.
But you're with her family, you got the estate, so you've got some feedback, people that knew her well.
Yeah, and I do believe that, again, like particularly I think with the ability to open this up with all of these orchestrations. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversations around that, even just like for myself as an orchestrator on it, a lot of the questions were, great, do we just kind of do this from like literally A to Z and just kind of keep it, you know, and just keep it on the grid? Or is there, you know, or do we look at, like, are there these small little magical moments that we can add to, like, amplify, you know, the, and I think that Whitney would be very, very happy with, with what we've created. It's again, it's truly special. It's unique, but it's also, again, it is the music that we all know and love. And I think
Yeah.
artistically, of course,
And with
that's
the video, we're going to see her, right?
exactly. Yeah. And it won't be necessary. Yeah. Again, you know, like it will be video and moments that are reflective upon, you know, the entirety of who she was as a person, right? So it's really not like sitting there and watching her sing in some video form, you know, all of these songs.
Oh,
It's
that's clear. And I
yeah.
realized in my previous unfair question, I didn't really hone in on what I really wanted to, the purpose of that stupid question.
Yeah,
But the
no.
purpose was really to say, you know, there's the Broadway environment, but talk to me about playing the Ravinia stage.
Yeah, like, and just you just in terms of like for me,
Well, for you, the pavilion, you've got billions of people on the grass. I mean, it's such a different environment than the Broadway theater.
it's incredible because I mean the wild thing about it is we are utilizing effectively the same, you know, we are asking participants to come and to experience and to hear and to feel from, you know, I guess again, like this proscenium and the idea of like watching, right? And engaging and participating. But we are just literally opening the walls of it to, you know, stadium level, even though we're still in sort of this theater space. And so I think it's, you know, it's part of the magic of what Ravinia is, right? That's a really, really cool thing to be able to, it's a great space.
And you can't, the fact that there are thousands, whatever it is, of people on the lawn, you can't ignore that they're there because they, I mean, many of them are there because they couldn't get in the pavilion, but many of them are there because it's what the experience they want. It's the picnic, it's the wine, it's the whatever, and then it's to sit back and listen to Whitney's music with this incredible orchestration. You got to know they're there and you're playing for them too.
Exactly. And I think one of the cool things about that, honestly, is I think it speaks so much to, you know, it's sort of this representation, if you will, of really just allowing the accessibility of Whitney's music and allowing people to come as they are in whatever form they want to sit and experience. You know, it's a really, really cool way to experience music. You know, there's so much community in that. There's so much ability, yeah, just to be able to again like come on a summer night and be like, cool, I get to just like, you know, as you say, exist even outside and like and hear and see all of this beautiful artistic magic happen in front of me. I honestly it's such an exciting prospect to be able to do it, and especially in this venue. I think it's perfect. And I think that even just like from that size of it, you know, it really speaks volumes to, again, these are the types of, I mean, you know, Whitney played to so many millions of people through her life, right? It is yet but a microcosm of what that effectively was. But you know, I'm so glad we get to do it on this grand of a stage. It's going to be fantastic.
Semi-unfair question number two.
Okay, here we go.
When you do this and you love it and it's an incredible experience, and I hope it gets repeated, of course, but
And so do
if
we. So do we.
Ravinia came to you and said, you know, Sean, we really like this. We should do this with another artist who has left us. Who's the top? Is there a top name on your list to go, Sarah Vaughan? I don't know who it is. Phyllis Hyman. Who is it that pops to the top of your list?
You just listed some very specific
Oh, Phyllis Hyman, man. Oh.
You're going into the vault. That's great too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, and this is a well. First, I think my answer would be absolutely yes. And I will say this much: I think that our hope is that this will be again the first of what will be many versions of this. Of course.
That will be Ravinia sponsored. Is that what you're thinking? That Ravinia might be looking? I know they're not with us right now, but they could be looking at this as a venue, as a thing.
I that's it's a very good question. I mean, what I will say is that as far as, you know, the as far as we're concerned with Whitney, you know, we are again, we've had conversations around what that will look like as far as, you know, beyond August 30th, which is really exciting. And hopefully looking at, you know, numerous venues and being able to do that, you know, more again from Whitney's side and seeing like
Right. And you'd be working with different philharmonic orchestras in different cities if that happened.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's our hope. That's our really our hope is that, you know, this is just the first of a big launch of what will be a fantastic experience that we have to share, you know, with audiences all around. I mean, you know, North America, let alone the world
Yeah.
potentially, because
Now,
of because of her reach, but
not your first time. I think Ali will probably have you in Chicago, maybe for the longest amount of continuous time. How familiar are you with this city? Do I need to tell you what pizza to eat? Are you good?
You know, we went to Giordano's again the other night when we were there. It was a quick visit, but we were there. You know, I will say this. I mean, Chicago is, as someone who also comes from, whose home is on the Great Lakes as well. It definitely has a certain feeling of home. People make that comparison all the time. They say, oh, it feels like Toronto and or Toronto and New York, somewhere in between.
I've always said Chicago was a clean New York and Toronto was a clean Chicago.
That's a great way of looking at it. That's a great way of thinking about it. Absolutely. And I think for us as artists, it's an incredibly artistic city. You know, there's so much happening there all the time. Yeah. On any level, right? I mean, next year with the theater angle of it, you know, I mean, it is the biggest home of theater in the country, aside from, you know, even from New York, right? And it really is, it's great. I've had a great time every time I've been in the city, and I'm looking forward to just actually being there and experiencing more community. You know, with Ali this weekend, we had a fantastic time with the Apostolic Church of God, who came out and who were their choir, their praise team specifically, came out and sang with us on stage at the Broadway in Chicago concert, yeah. which was so incredible. It was a great time, and I think that's the, again, for me, that's the magic of being able to go to different places and do art. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be so fantastic to share that with the community and say, great, I'm a guest. I always like to say I'm a guest in your house. So
that's until we get you to move here. But I want to encourage everybody to go to Ravinia.org. That's where you get tickets. Ravinia.org, the Voice of Whitney, a symphonic celebration conducted by Sean May. It's going to be an amazing evening. Friday, August 30th, the pavilion, the lawn, wherever you want to do it, Ravinia.org. Check it out before it sells out. Sean, thank you. Break legs when you're here. And I'm sure I'm going to see you at some point, probably at Ali time. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's been such a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time to chat. And I'm sure we'll be chatting again when Ali rolls around.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Right on. Thank you.